Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, and we read selected verses beginning with verse 1. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the just decrees that I am teaching you, and do them, that you may live, and go in, and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add it to the word that I command you, nor take from it. You may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Keep them and do them. For that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and just decrees so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the sixth chapter, and we begin reading at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. You may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Mark, the seventh chapter, and we begin reading at verse 14. Jesus called the people to him again and said to them, hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. The things that come out of a person are what defile him. And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him? Since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled. Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. A text for today is based on your gospel lesson, a little bit of which I will reread. Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled? Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things, evil things, come from within, and they defile a person. This is our text. The gospel lesson for today is really one piece with the gospel lesson that we had last week. So I'd like to remind you a little bit of the context of the words of Jesus. Jesus was eating with the disciples, and they didn't break a law of God. They broke a regulation. You see, there was something called the tradition of the elders. 613 regulations, as I spoke of last week, that were invented to help you keep the law of God. By way of example, so, you know, you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. Well, how far can you then walk on the Sabbath without violating the law of working? Well, turns out it was about a half mile. You shouldn't harvest your fields on the Sabbath, but what exactly is harvesting? Well, if you picked a grain of wheat and you went like this and then ate it, you're not harvesting. But if you picked a handful of wheat and went like this, then you're harvesting. So in addition to the law of God, which simply stated rest on the Sabbath, you had all kinds of other regulations to help you keep the law. And if you think this is just an ancient Jewish tradition, it still goes on today. It goes on in religions. It goes on in government. In preparation for tonight, just for grins, I looked up how many regulations just the federal government has in addition to all the laws that it has. You are governed by 90,000+ regulations. You have my pity. 90,000 regulations! How can a person keep track of all that, even know what all that is? But beware, if you break one, somebody will point it out to you, and there probably will be some fine. But were you listening when I read the Old Testament lesson for today? God said something really important. That Old Testament lesson. As he was telling the Israelites to make sure that they keep his commandments. He said, don't take from it. But he also added this interesting phrase. And don't add to it. You see, one of the problems that the world has is that it doesn't really get the human problem. And because it doesn't really get the human problem, it doesn't know how to really solve it. If people aren't obeying the law, humanity thinks the solution is make more laws. That's not the solution. Never has been, never will be. Or you see, the real human problem is not what we do, but what's in our hearts. And there's never been, nor will there ever be, a law that is written that fixes the human heart. You've heard me talk about the word repent before and its actual meaning, which is not to change that which you are doing. The Gospel of Mark, which we're reading out of this year, church calendar year, starts this way, Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. And the word gospel means good news. All right, you're trained well. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. The word repent means change how you think. Repent and believe good news or the gospel. The gospel is the answer to the unrighteousness of man. The law points it out. But God already gave us enough laws to figure that out, didn't he? But the world keeps on thinking if it can write just a couple of more new laws and maybe come up with some new enforcement mechanisms, somehow we can make a more righteous people. But telling a person how to live doesn't fix the human heart. It doesn't take away our fears, our doubts, our guilts, our worries, our anxieties. And it's not just the, if you will, unreligious world that doesn't get that. I read an interesting article this last week. The University of Harvard out east just elected a new chaplain. And he wasn't appointed by, like, the president of the university. No. Apparently they have, like, some consortium of chaplains on campus, 40-some. And they elected him. Now, here's the interesting thing. The chaplain they elected is an atheist. You heard me right. The chaplain they elected is an atheist. He doesn't believe in God. I make this recommendation to you if you happen to be out east sometime, maybe visiting Harvard University because it's probably a cool place. And some tragedy befalls you. You're taken to the hospital and you're about to die. And the only chaplain available is the head chaplain of Harvard University. Don't bother calling him. Apparently, he's some ethics teacher, and he knows how to tell people how to live in a very nice way. But though I can tell you how to live after death takes hold of you, he can't. Though the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ can answer your fears, can give you hope when there's none. The God that he doesn't believe in
absolutely useless to you. The problem we face as Christians is not the lack of knowing what to do and needing more rules and regulations to help us figure that out. The problem, as Jesus identified it in our gospel lesson, is the human heart and what comes out of it. Because of our fears and our doubts and our worries and our anxieties. You know, I've done this about 100, maybe 1,000 times, but I don't think it hurts really to do it maybe 1,000 times in one. If you ask 1,000 people, why shouldn't you steal? Chances are only 2% or less are going to give you the answer that you're going to give to me right now because you've been trained to think this way. If I ask you the question, why should you not steal? The right answer is because God will provide. You know, you are probably the only congregation in the Missouri Synod that would give that answer the first time the question is asked. You should be proud of yourselves. It's the right answer, and you know that, but it's not the answer most people give because their hearts aren't governed by the gospel. Oh, it's not that they don't know it. But when it comes to solving the issues of life, we often don't reference it. Oh, at some critical times we may. We're on our deathbeds. Please tell me the gospel. But we fail to recognize is that God's gifts, God's promises address every single issue that we have in life. And they address it not by telling us what we should do. They address it by telling us what God has done. And my friends, it's what God has done changes hearts. 1 John chapter 4, we love because he first loved us. Not because he told us, you better love or I'm going to strike you with lightning. We love because God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The Pharisees didn't get that. And my friends, most of the world, even amongst your fellow Christians, still don't get it. They think that the answer to making more righteous people is to come up with more rules and more regulations, more things that we ought to do, and if you do this and if you do that, that's going to make you a good person. No. Never has. Never will. What makes us good is our baptism. Where our sins were washed away. What makes us love is the knowledge that we have been loved by God. What keeps us from stealing is knowing that he's going to provide for us. What calms our fears, even when facing death, is knowing that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. What defiles us? what changes our hearts. It is, and always has been, and always will be, the thing that changes our hearts, the gospel. And if you know of someone's life, a friend, co-worker, and needs to be changed, don't tell them what to do. Tell them what God has done. Because it's when hearts are changed that lives ultimately change. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.